What up? Welcome to episode 2 of the Gruesome Poos.
Episode 2 of the Gruesome Poosom.
We're not redoing that.
That's staying in there. We're not editing that. The Gruesome Poosom. Pod Stoosom. Anyway, welcome. The creepiness of the intro is dead.
Killed it.
Yeah.
Good job.
Our host is. Our ghost host with the most is.
Oh, is that me?
Yes.
Oh, it's me, Lauren Jensen.
And I'm Colin Chomuk. And we have two people that decided to come over and shoot shit. God.
You're fired, dude.
Come over to shoot the shit with us. And then they also came over to bring us Yogurtland. And that is?
Michelle
what? I know several Michelles.
Michelle Frenari.
And we have?
Garrett.
That he doesn't have, but he's like Madonna. He only has one name.
Classified.
Anyway, so, so episode 2, here we are.
Off to a great start,
a phenomenal start. Yeah, the sophomore slump of an episode. Anyway, so first and foremost, if you're listening to the second one, because you listened to the first one, thank you.
Yeah, I want to apologize to everyone for my squealing in the last one. We weren't aware that it was going to be that loud.
It's all good.
Feel bad about it.
But hey, if you're listening to this and you listen to the first one, that means, you know, you're either our friends.
I'm gonna be better
around,
this time, guys.
Yeah,
hang in there.
We put the laptop further back. Anyway, so we're gonna dive right in. So before, I don't want you to reveal what movie we're gonna be talking about,
okay. But
I want you to tell me what you thought of the movie that we're gonna talk about.
I still don't know the name.
Okay, well, that's good because apparently you can't
say
the name.
So,
right
what did you think of the movie?
This movie, in one
word. Oh, Get Out!
Well, there it is. Is that what you were working? Thank you.
You stupid.
Don't encourage him, Michelle.
I'm sorry. That was kind of funny.
It was funny.
It was funny.
Gruesome poosom. Anyway, we're not drunk. I swear to God.
Really not.
We're not. Anyway, we're going to be talking about Get Out. Recently came out, and if you haven't seen this, we're going to be talking major spoilers. And if you have seen it, just continue listening along.
Or watch it and then listen.
Or, yeah, pause this right now and then come back. So we're going to give you a brief second to pause. And you got through an hour and 45 minutes of a movie, so
welcome
now you're back.
Welcome back, guys.
Welcome back. Anyway, so Get Out. Where to start with this?
I guess the main thing to say is that this was the best reviewed horror movie
of 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Always nice to hear because horror movies
get the shit end of the stick. But this was a really unique one. I remember when I first saw the trailer for it. First off, it's Jordan Peele from Key & Peele, formerly Mad TV. So when the trailer says from the mind of Jordan Peele, it's like, okay.
Not really sure what to expect here, but other than, is this going to be funny?
It wasn't,
I wouldn't say it's a comedy horror.
I
think there's comedy in it.
I would say it's a horror comedy, not a comedy horror. And there's a big difference between the two.
Word.
There's a big difference between the two. Comedy horror is stuff like
Tucker and Dale versus.
That's a comedy horror,
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead, and then you have stuff like, I would put You're Next as a dark comedy.
Well, we're not talking about dark comedies.
Get Out is a dark comedy?
You're
missing my pun.
I see what you did there, just because they're black.
Anyway, we're rolling on that one.
Michelle's doing it right, she's keeping her head in the popcorn bowl right now.
So, anyway, with Get Out, I remember when the trailer first came out, I watched the trailer, and I thought it was really funny, but also an interesting idea. And I was like, wow, this kind of seems like it could be a Mad TV sketch, or it could have been a Key & Peele sketch, or it could have been a Chappelle Show sketch, but now they're adding horror elements. And I remember reading through the comments, there was enough people for it to stick my mind, being like, oh, this movie's just blatantly going to be racist and be a fuck white people type of movie. And I never got that vibe from the trailer. I always got that this was very aware of what it was doing, but it was also making a statement towards something. And I think the interesting thing about the movie as it plays out is it kind of flips the whole thing on its head about where you think it's going from the trailer. But yeah, let's dive in. If you've seen the trailer, which was all over social media and everything, interracial couple, and they go up to the backwoods of wherever the hell they're going, and it's a...
It reminds me a lot of just, like, it reminds me of a plantation house, kind of.
It's in the areas that once probably had slaves, and slavery is a thing, and they're going there for a family reunion, big barbecue party, socialite thing.
Reunion. He's going to meet the parents of the...
It's meet the parents of, but it's
yes.
Interracial couples. So go up there, and there's some spooky stuff, which is exemplified in the trailer. And as the movie kind of goes on, it gets creepier and weirder and more offshooty. But there's a couple things, and I took some notes on it, that I really wanted to talk about in this movie. And if you've seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. So first off, what did you think of the movie, just as a whole? Like,
I was going to tell you when you originally asked me, and then you did your whole get out.
Okay, so go on. So what did you think of the movie?
What I was going to say is that in one word, I think it's very smart.
Yeah, I think that's the best word to really describe it.
I liked watching it right before doing this, especially because we only saw it the one time
in theaters.
Watching it again, I think only reaffirmed how smart it actually was. Because the first time I watched it, I was like kind of like processing all of it, and it made sense, and everything kind of clicked in the end, which was cool. But watching it the second time, I really picked up on all those subtleties that the characters did, said, didn't do, and I was like, oh my god, there's like so much detail into this where when you don't know what's going to happen, you may kind of weird and you question it, but then your mind moves on from it because you're like, I don't get it. I don't know why. I think especially when he goes and talks to the groundskeeper, which we later find out is the grandfather, and the guy is saying weird old-timey things.
Yeah,
I forget exactly what the words
were,
but he's like, oh, she's one to hold on to, or something strange like that. And I'm like, who says that? Like, it's such a weird way.
Well, I know, the great-grandfather.
It was such a weird way to say something, and it's like, oh my, now knowing that the grandfather is in there, it, like, made total sense. So it was just, I don't know, it was just those subtleties that I think...
Yeah.
Made it all the better.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
I want to come back to that, but I also want to talk about one of the things that I thought was really cool is, and it reminded me a lot of It Follows, which is a movie I'd love to talk about on this podcast somewhere down the line. But the opening scene, and I am a huge sucker for intricately cool tracking shots. And if anyone remembers do you remember the opening shot of It Follows?
It's
just a circular.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh yeah. And this movie did the same thing where it was a tracking shot and it just revolved all around the character who was, you know, this African-American who's walking and then ends up getting abducted, which was the opening scene of the movie. And I thought that was an awesome way to set the pace of the movie, which in terms of talking about pacing, this movie did a terrific job of making you laugh at some of the awkwardness, you know, like when the white person's like, oh, I do love... You know, Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah, he's like, I used to golf, but I really like Tiger Woods.
And
or like, oh, I would vote for Obama again. It's like, okay,
but
guys.
It was like a lot of things that you say, and you're like, wow, that's so awkward, you're going to laugh at it. But the thing about...
And he's so polite saying it.
But the thing about horror and comedy that I never realized until this movie is they're very much the same in terms of, like, pacing and how you deliver something. Because, like, you could tell the funniest joke in the world, but if your lead-up to it's terrible and your delivery of it's terrible, it will probably fall flat. Just like you can have the most terrifying scene in a horror movie, and if your lead-up or your suspense is terrible, the movie just kind of falls flat. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, in a way, a comedian making a horror movie is really a great idea because, you know, like I said, you have to start at, in comedies... You have...
It's all about
you're supposed
timing.
You're supposed to have a very funny opening scene, and then it's supposed to... And then it's supposed to kind of build up on everything. It's supposed to build and build and build your relationship with characters while still maintaining, you know, being funny or whatnot, and then have a very outrageously funny end scene. That's I mean, that's the way I would say it's supposed to be.
That's true. Yeah.
And I feel the same way with horror movies, you know, like look at Scream. You gotta have that really great opening scene, and then you have to have, or any horror movie, you have to have this really great opening scene, and then you have to introduce the characters, build on them, so you get to know these characters, all while building comedy or building suspense and keeping them entertained with horror or laughs,
mm-hmm.
and then it all culminates in this big end scene. So, in a way, I felt that this movie was the best movie that I've seen that perfectly balances those two emotions, where like one scene I'm like really in suspense, and the other scene I'm, and then like two scenes later I'm laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me, this movie has one of the greatest supporting characters of all time, TSA dude. Garrett, what do you think of TSA man?
Hands down, one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, I mean the dude, like literally the dude is. If you want the basis of what a best friend should do for you, or what a friend should do for you when you are,
he's like the best of best friends.
Yeah, like that dude and his monologue with the.
I really like loved it when he muted her and he was like, "This bitch is lying." Like, it was so good.
Yeah. Another thing that Lauren kind of touched on about repeat viewings of this movie, because there's some horror movies where you watch it and then it's
almost like
you get
one shot.
Yeah.
You watch it and then. It's like, you can watch it again,
but
you're done. Like, it's over at that point.
This one, it added so much to it, in my opinion, because of a couple things that I want to point out. First and foremost, when they're driving up to get there, and let's take it at face value first. They hit a deer, cops come out, white cop, and he's talking to the girl, the white girl who's driving, and then he decides to start asking the black person
really
who's the pastor.
Names next time.
Chris, he starts asking Chris for his ID, for his driver's license, and you're like, oh, okay, he's doing this because, you know, he's because of, you know, racism or underlying racism. And then his girlfriend is like, no, don't show him that, don't do that, and is sticking up for him. And it's like, wow, like she's standing up because she sees that and their relationship, they're in an interracial relationship, and she's sticking up for this. But if you really watch that the second time, let's think about it. Why wouldn't she want to show?
Because she doesn't,
she doesn't want
his name. Yeah,
that he went
because
up
it's a cop. She doesn't want.
It would be documented that he was there at the scene.
Oh,
did you not pick that up?
No.
But yeah, so it was like there's a lot of things, and especially like watching, like you were saying with watching the old groundskeeper, and then watching the maid as well, and watching even
like her. Like that one tear when she's talking
uh-huh.
to him, like made all the sense to me watching it that
mm-hmm.
second time. Like I said, it's all those like little subtleties
mm-hmm.
that you kind of like tilted your head at.
You're just
like it was
creepy.
Michelle's
creepy.
First time watching, and she's like, "Yeah, she's creepy. I don't get that." And I'm
yeah.
secretly
mm-hmm.
thinking,
mm-hmm.
"I'm like,
mm-hmm.
because she's trapped
mm-hmm.
and she's sad."
And
we also came in halfway through the movie.
And then you, and yeah, they came in.
Even if you didn't come in halfway through the movie, that's the same reaction I had the first time I watched it.
We came in at the best part of the movie with the best friend.
That's right.
You did.
Best friends enter.
But also, the performance of the Andre was his name, the one who was abducted at the very beginning, and then he popped up. He was the guy in the trailer wearing the hat. And when Chris, the main character protagonist, tried to fist bump him or put his fist out, he grabbed his hand, shook it, and he was the guy basically yelling "Get out!" that got the camera flash. And seeing his performance, because this time you were like. Because the first time you watch, you're like, oh, they just hypnotize him. He's the same person. He's just, like, whitewashed, or he's totally, like, you know, they've totally brainwashed him. And then watching it a second time, you totally, it clicks a lot more of, oh, this is some old-as-fuck white dude that has gotten, that is now inhabiting the body of this young black person.
Kind of, yeah.
This young black person in order to... get the physical attributes of African Americans, which is, you know, things where they're talking about like sex, where it's like, oh, is it true that, you know, they're better, or, you know, the agility, the speed, which is another thing in the trailer when you see the groundskeeper sprinting at Chris in the middle of the night, you're like, what the fuck, that's weird. then when you rewatch it, it kind of clicks where
the dad has a conversation with him about his dad being a wrestler.
His dad was an Olympic sprinter or was in the Olympics. He was running, and it was the Olympics, and it came and his father, who was white, lost to the African American who won the Olympics against Germany in front of Hitler. So it was like, oh, here's this grandfather that is now inhabiting the body of this African American who is quote unquote stereotypically more sportsman-y, which is why he's running. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Did I just shoot it down? Also, this movie, they found the absolute creepiest and ugliest white person in the face of the planet.
The
brother with the creepy mustache.
You know why? Okay, I'm going to throw this out here. If you're a blonde man, do not grow facial hair. Just don't.
For all you people out there. Michelle, you haven't tried to, you've just been cuddling the bowl of popcorn. What are your thoughts on blonde men with facial hair?
Yes, Michelle, what are your thoughts on blonde men with facial hair?
Because some people who are blonde have...
I'm not talking dirty blonde. I'm talking like same skin tone.
We're talking
Owen
Wilson blonde.
If your hair is growing out of your face and it's the same value as your skin...
Don't do it.
You weren't meant to have facial hair. Accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Move on. Because you're gonna look like the guy in Get Out that is
creepy as fuck.
No redeeming qualities of this person whatsoever.
Yeah.
And the facial hair was just the cherry on top of the cake.
Mm-hmm.
Personally,
I'm sure he appreciates that.
So let's see, what else?
I know he was playing a character. I think if he were a smart man, he wouldn't actually...
Well, there are actors out there who are very unattractive, and that is their...
Literally get paid
but
to
yeah, that's
Richard,
what makes
well, Richard Berryman, who was in the original Hills Have Eyes, he was in... Basically, I could show you a picture of him, and you would be like, oh, that's that guy from blah, blah, blah movie.
A good example. Alexander Skarsgård, beautiful man. Like, probably the most beautiful man I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, and
sorry,
Colin. And you got...
If he had facial
hair...
You are
writing it out.
If he had facial hair, it would not be a good time.
Okay,
it's the same thing with this dude. I'm sure he looks, like, amazing outside of
Alexander
his character.
Alexander Skarsgård. She thinks
Skarsgård.
Skarsgård. She thinks he's so incredibly hot. Just like you said Leighton Meester wrong in the last episode?
This one I'm sure of. Shut up, Jess.
If you're listening, yeah. Alexander Skarsgård, so she thinks he's super hot. I actually thought that the chick in this movie was a total babe. And then when she went crazy, she was even hotter. But here's how you tell, like, if someone's fucking crazy or if someone's got a screw loose, whether it's a dude or chick or whatever.
It's all in the eyes.
It's not even in the eyes. The fact that there's a scene of her listening with
headphones
in.
This is the definition, I guess.
Yes. Her listening to the Dirty Dancing song that was recreated brilliantly in the presidential debate with Hillary and the Donald. Had the time of my life. She's listening to that song. She has a glass of milk, and she's drinking it through a straw, and then she pauses to eat, like, plain Fruit Loops. Like, she's eating Fruit Loops without dipping them in the milk, and she's just eating them.
Why do you dip Fruit Loops in the milk? Why don't you just pour milk on it?
No, she wasn't dipping
anything.
She was
eating it.
No, I know. Colin said he dips
Fruit Loops. No, she did. Okay, I fucking said it wrong. She was eating it, like, one by one, and then she's just taking long sips of milk, and that's just repulsive to me. And, okay, I don't like milk drinking. That's disgusting.
All these heated conversations about personal vendettas against people bothering us rather than the actual movie, which just shows that the movie's good. We're just picking on things.
Well, and it also shows that, like,
picking on facial features.
That personally bother us.
Big ears.
Let's get away from the personal attacks.
Michelle, what else you got? Let's talk about this.
When she was in a ponytail,
sick, right?
Why would you put your hair up in a ponytail
she
to show off your ears more?
She looked really ill.
Yeah.
I don't know why anyone would be attracted to an ill
Dumbo.
Have you seen Val Kilmer in Tombstone?
Okay,
I hate Val Kilmer. I don't think he's attractive at all.
You take that back.
No.
We're getting so far off topic here. And, so let me get back to what we were talking about, which was Get Out. I took a few more notes that I want to say. Let's say that the sink into the floor scene as well as the, what was it called when he's... Did I put you on the spot?
No, what are you talking about? Sinking into the floor and what?
When he's, what was it called? The space, someone's probably yelling at their laptop right now or their into their headphones.
I want to say their quiet place.
The quiet,
that's not it.
The sunken place. The sunken place?
You already said that though.
No, I said when he's sinking into
the
floor.
It's the sunken place.
Oh, okay. What, the sunken place. That was such a cool, like, how to put this, like visually, that was such a awesome scene, because it's like you see him like sinking down and you just see like this TV monitor, and I mean in all essence like it was all practical, so that was probably fairly easy to film. I mean, who knows, somebody's probably gonna tell me I'm a fucking idiot on here, but like the scene of it was so cool because like you're seeing things how you would through his eyes when you're seeing this TV the monitor of, you know, what he's seeing, but he's just sinking down and he's gonna losing control of his body, which is gonna be inhabited by some old crusty fucking white dude. But yeah, I thought those scenes were really, really cool how they did.
No,
it was
a good, because it's like, how are you supposed to interpret hypnosis into a visual?
And I think
aspect, because how are you supposed to do that?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And I think it was a good way to do that because it's like he's aware and he can see what's going on,
mm-hmm.
but it's almost like everything's muffled and slow, and he can't quite
have control over it. Yeah,
right.
It's like,
it's scary because it's like we learned that that's kind of the state of mind he's going to be in once they transfer this other subconscious person into his body that'll have motor function of his actual body, he's going to be stuck in that silent space.
Yeah, which is a really
So
creepy.
He'll be seeing and be aware of things, but he won't actually be able to do anything about it. And seeing that like visual aspect that you're just in this dark place seeing on a tiny screen everything that's going on.
Without any control or anything.
That's
really
horrifying.
Yeah. Well, it's like the end of movie that this reminded me a lot of that you even mentioned too was The Skeleton Key. 2002 or something like that. No, I was a freshman, I was a sophomore in high school, so it had to be 2005.
Okay.
But yeah, Skeleton
Good
Key.
Good movie, very
Another
underrated.
Awesome movie if you want to see, like, psychological movie, this, and mixed with, like, voodoo and hoodoo.
Same kind of, like, general concept of people wanting younger, more agile bodies and taking control of them, essentially.
Yeah. So it's, if you enjoyed this, watch that. It used to be on Netflix. But yeah, back to another thing that I mentioned earlier that I was talking to you is kind of the, like, people saying, like, because I had somebody say to me when I saw this and was like, they were asking me, I was like, you gotta see Get Out, it's great, it's the best horror movie that's come out this year so far. And I remember somebody asking me, being like, oh, is it one of those gimmicky things that's gonna be like I said, like, gimmicky, oh, here, like, white people are fucking awful or, you know, anything like that. And it's really not. And I found when I was kind of researching this, I found something that was really, because I was trying to put the social commentary of what the movie is trying to say and how it kind of flips what you think it's going to be on its, you know, on its head. Because it's, because you kind of say, okay, cool. Like, they're bringing them up. They're going up to, you know, wherever it ended up being, Virginia or something like that. And he's nervous about that, and there's all these, you do, like, stereotypes of, you know, white, that culture there, where slaves were previously owned, and you're thinking, like, oh, great, these people are going to be, like, you know, like, KKK members or some shit. But I found something I read, I pulled it off of a great source, Wikipedia.
Good source.
And one of the themes on it, it says, and I want to read this, it's about two paragraphs or so, and it says, Get Out has been seen by some commentators as a satire, which it's true and I 100% agree, on the dynamics of so-called, quote-unquote, West Wing liberals, who consider themselves to be allies to movements against racism, yet do more harm than good. I can't pronounce that, of The Guardian commented on this, saying, the villains here aren't Southern rednecks or neo-Nazi skinheads or the so-called alt-right or KKK people. They're middle-class white liberals, the kind of people who read this website the kind of people who shop at Trader Joe's, donate to the ACLU, and would have voted for Obama a third time if they could, which was pointed out in the movie. These people were not racist people, you know?
Yeah.
The people were, the trailer, like, prepared, made it kind of seem like, oh, they're trying to do that because they wanted, like, they hate, you know, there's racism.
Yeah.
But it's like, these people were not
going back,
those types of
the
racism.
The type of, like, people trying to go back to slavery,
mm-hmm.
and it's
yeah.
not, that's not what it was.
Yeah, they're good people, nice people, your parents probably. The thing Get Out does so well, and the thing that will rankle some viewers, is to show how, however unintentionally, these same people can make life so hard and uncomfortable for black people. It exposes a liberal ignorance and hubris that has been allowed to fester. It's an attitude and arrogance which in the film leads to a horrific final solution, but in reality leads to a complacency that is just as dangerous. So this one, the interesting thing about it is it's these people that are saying things that are actually kind of, I guess, like, if you were to look at it, it's kind of, like, it's racist. Like, they're walking up to people being like, so, they're saying, they're not racist, but it's stereotyping.
It's stereotyping.
There we go. That's, yeah, correct. That's much better. Because they're walking up saying things like, oh, you know, like, is it true, like, black, you know, like, you're better. Like, they're saying things that, like, you know,
being bigger is better.
They're
like,
saying things that, like, most white people would not think is being offensive. They're like, oh, no, I'm not being offensive. I was just saying, like, you know, because, you know, like, do you play basketball? Or, like,
and the
stuff
one
like
guy
that.
Said, black is in right now.
Yeah.
Just weird things like that.
So it's
that
like,
just,
these are things.
You just, oh, you felt so uncomfortable.
And that was the thing that was, like, very entertaining about it. And it was also, like, kind of the creepiest thing that really flipped it around is it's like, these are not people that are sitting there, like, KKK members that are in the waiting. These are people who are, like, that are the exact opposite of that. They're people who, like, they said, I would have voted for Obama for a third term, or, you know, I would have done this. These are people that are not blatantly racist, but they're wanting to use stereotypical, as they point out, like, stereotypical black, like, black and African-American attributes, like the grandfather with running, which is why he's, you know, running around in the middle of the night. You know, the guy who was kidnapped at the beginning of the movie, you know, for sexual purposes, when they're saying, oh, we don't leave the house much anymore. No, is it true that black is better? Yada, yada, yada. But it was just a really interesting way that they totally flipped that around from where, like, you thought it would, could kind of very easily go, and how they're kind of painting that to become. But yeah, that's,
mm-hmm.
yeah, does that
it's,
make sense to me?
It's
does
a
that
very
make sense?
Well, in-depth, thought-out movie.
Oh, yeah, it's, and it's,
and
it's,
I give Peele props for that.
Yeah.
Really, like,
well,
it's like, not to say that, like, horror movies are really, like, at surface level, but a lot of them are, but this one had a lot of...
It had a lot to say.
Thought.
Yeah, it had a lot of thought and a lot to say, and it was really interesting, because it was a whole different, like, perspective that we as people that are not, you know, we as people that don't endure stereotypes of that, you know, like that,
that
we don't see it, and
yeah,
it's,
of course.
So it was a different thing. Next thing I want to talk about. The main actor.
Yes.
Who we, yeah.
Love him.
Yeah,
he's,
Chris. The guy.
Yes. I was telling Colin while we were watching it how much I enjoy watching him act, because he actually, like, doesn't say a whole lot. I mean, he's got a fair amount of dialogue. He's a main character. But the parts that I enjoyed the much were the parts where he wasn't saying anything,
mm-hmm.
because it's one thing to... like what I was saying earlier, for a director to tell you to be, okay, be happy. And there's always the cliche happy, or be sad, be confused, be afraid. And, you know, you can do a very cliche version of those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved watching his thought process,
mm-hmm.
Because he was very relatable in his eye movements and his body language, everything he did, you just... like, was, you were immediately related to him,
you
and
you
just
see
felt
what he was thinking.
You felt everything. He just,
like, his when
portrayed
he was,
emotions without
yeah.
saying anything.
Yeah.
So well,
when he was uncomfortable, he conveyed that just through facial expressions or emotions, or, you know, body language.
Well, and it's just like just eye movements. Like, I think one of my favorite parts is when he sees the maid in the window, and he's already suspicious of her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's he's taking pictures. He's out in the middle of the field. He sees the maid that's up in her bedroom on the second story. And he's, keep in mind, there's no dialogue happening here, but I assess all of this based on what he's doing. He's like, I'm taking pictures. I see this maid. I'm not really too sure about her. Something's weird. I kind of want to spy on her, but I don't want to get noticed.
You're curious.
So he like, he kind of like, look, it was the middle of the day. He like, he glances, he kind of like does an eye dart at her, takes his camera, pretends to look like he's taking a picture, and then very slowly angles his camera up to spy on her. And then of course, immediately when he gets caught, like goes and's like, oh, I'm still taking pictures. Oh, how'd that picture turn out? It just, I don't know.
It was very natural, like the way, yeah.
Subtle.
Like, yeah. Yeah, so that was the thing, like, the performances of, like, him, particularly, also, Andre, the other guy who was in it, who had, like, 5 minutes of screen time, but it was, especially watching it a second time. So if you've seen this, if you've seen Get Out once, please go back and watch it again, because everything that you learned, basically, it's almost more of a treat to watch it a second time, because you pick up on so many little things, you know, obviously, like, at the beginning where he hits that deer and he goes into the woods to try and find it, you know, his character development throughout the movie, you know, so much more, just like why when he hit the maid, or, you know, turned out to be the grandmother, when he hit her with the car, he had to stop and go back because of, you know, what happened to him as a child. So it was so, it's a treat to go back and rewatch it and see these little subtle things that you didn't notice, as well as, you know, like I pointed out with the police officer, mm-hmm. and some of the other things. And one last thing, the
ending. The ending.
The ending.
I was going to talk about the ending a little bit.
So there is, from everything I've read and now seen, there is 3 alternate endings to Get Out. And let me just say, by far the best and most satisfying one is the theatrical one.
It's the one they went with, thank goodness.
Yeah, because it's...
I think I all but stood up in the theater when his friend got out of the car. I was like, God.
Because it's like...
this poor guy has been through enough. He deserves a happy ending.
He's straddling this woman, strangling her.
It just doesn't look good.
Let's just say it. Like, if a... cop rolls up
and all I can think is it's gonna be that cop from earlier
and he's just gonna, yeah, and it's like well, and I was expecting, cause, you know, like I was expecting it to end the same way that original Night of the Living Dead did, you know, and I was expecting, like, I was like, great, like he's gonna get shot and it's gonna be, cause one of my big gripes about horror movies, which I kind of talked about last week, was movies have cliche endings where you think it's going to be a happy ending and then they just kick you right in the nuts. And then that's how they end the movie. And the movie never really, like, gained anywhere, and you never felt like it was a validating experience watching the movie because you're literally back at square one. Whereas this, like, you see the, like, he's mounting this girl and he's strangling her, trying to kill her. And she's, like, smirking at him. So naturally, like, anyone in that situation would probably want to, would you say squeeze harder?
Okay. This pissed me off. He goes to strangle her.
She could have been into it.
Okay, but
you've never smiled when you're getting strangled?
Okay. Whoa.
Michelle, have you ever smiled when you're getting strangled?
What? I didn't.
Okay.
You ever smile when Michelle strangles you?
What I'm
does
saying.
Does anyone ever smile when they strangle themselves when they're.
Listen.
We're gonna wrap this up soon, everybody. Thanks for bearing.
He's strangling her, and she smiles at him, and his instinct is to let go. I'd be like, "You crazy mother! I'm gonna squeeze harder."
You crazy mother! I'm gonna squeeze harder. She also had a bullet hole.
Bitch smiles at me while I'm trying to kill her. I'm definitely gonna kill you now.
She had a bullet hole in her stomach too. She's gonna die. But
make sure she's good and dead.
Her face.
One to the head.
Her face just bothered you. But
sorry.
Including her ears.
No, but
Dumbo,
so
don't put your hair up in a ponytail when your ears like
that. Wow! And people,
plus, if you're gonna try to kill somebody, the most effective shot is between the eyes and above the bridge of the nose.
And
oh yeah, Garrett, do you want to comment on the gun?
Can we talk about these alternate endings
of it?
Yeah, it looks like she was shot with a .22 rifle, and looks like she has a shotgun hole from either a buckshot or a slug. Stupid.
But It's because the barrel of the gun was made of Hollywood.
Okay.
Funny.
That's so many puns.
Oh, puns for days. Puntastic. Anyway, so that was the original ending, which was great. And like I said, when that happened, it was like, right when the sirens go, like, my stomach just dropped in the theater. I'm like, no. Like, after all this shit this guy has been through, and how satisfying it was to watch him, like, just wipe out this entire family of terrible people. You know, when he goes and he smashes the teacup, and then when he just, like, stomps the shit
all,
out of the one
him kill, the deaths of everyone in that family were very satisfying.
Yeah.
But the best friend gets out of the car,
but
you gotta give him, like, a standing ovation.
And literally, like, that happened, and it was just, like... Like, just round of applause, and you were just so relieved, and then he gets in the car, and he's like, I fucking told you.
I told you not to go to the house!
And then,
You looked at me and I told you so.
Yeah, so, that was the first, that was the best ending, the one they went with, and I'm so incredibly glad. So, if, Peele, you ever hear this, you did good.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah, the second ending, I don't think he needs validations, but we made $125 million. So, he's doing another original concept of a movie, but it's not going to be in here. So, second.
Is called Get In?
Get In. It's. So, second alternate ending, which is on the Blu-ray, which we watched, which was not as good, was cops roll up, they arrest him. He's in jail, and his friend goes to visit him in jail, and he's just like, yo, you need to tell me what happened, because he's trying to help him build the defense, and he's just like, no, I stopped it, like, it's cool. So he's basically like, I don't care,
He's content.
He's content with this, and, you know,
he stopped it.
Which, that's not a satisfying ending at all. And then the other ending was he got shot. The cops, you know, shot him while he was strangling the person. That was how the movie ended on that one. And then the last one, which is probably, like, the second runner-up if I had to choose one other than the theatrical one, is his friend busts in there. Apparently, he busts in there and, like, finds him. And he's like, Chris, I found you. And then he's, like, adjusting his hat or something. And he's like, oh, Chris, I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm not familiar with you.
Yeah. So it's like he got swapped over with the blind dude who ended up winning him in the bingo, or was it bingo? Yeah, it was bingo.
It looked like bingo.
It was like
they were betting, but it looked like bingo.
Yeah, it's like inhabit the body of a young African American man, bingo.
Oh boy. All right.
Anyway.
Well, it's time to.
So yeah, if you've been holding on for the last 38 minutes, thank you. And let's see. Do we have closing remarks? Michelle, what were your thoughts of the, 9 minutes of the movie that you made it through?
She just liked the popcorn.
Michelle would literally come over just for the popcorn. So,
I did like the friend.
Everybody liked the friend.
I liked the TSA guy.
TSA dude needs to be nominated for, like, best supporting actor. What else you got for us, Michelle? Well, we're wrapping
this
up.
I think there's a moral of the story.
What was that? I'm really curious to see what your interpretation of the 7 minutes of the screen time that you saw.
Well, just from...
Don't trust people.
Yeah. Don't,
People suck.
There's a great meme on the internet. If
don't
you see
date
it,
people, because their family may kill you.
I love it that all of us in this room are in a relationship. But there's a really great meme on the internet. It's an African American woman and a white dude laying in bed, and the white guy is sound asleep, and the African American woman is, like, wide awake, looking creeped out. And the caption of the meme is, "When interracial couples go and see Get Out." And I laughed way harder than they should. Also, look up the hashtag Get Out Challenge and just laugh at people being stupid. It's people trying to, like, run down a hallway or an aisle at Walmart and then do that turn last minute when they hit the camera, and 7 out of 10 times they eat shit. Anyway.
So good.
Anyone else have closing remarks while
I'm
wrap
good.
This guy up?
I'm good.
Nope.
All
or
right.
Don't date people who live on plantations.
Okay. Well, they were originally going to film the movie in L.A., but what happened was tax reasons they had to move it. So originally it was going to be L.A., so just think of that.
Okay.
Anyway, wrap
L.A. sucks too.
Anyway, wrapping this up, the Gruesome Twosome Podcast,
goodbye.
Which was a gruesome foursome from Just Garrett, Michelle Fenari, Lauren Jensen, and I'm Colin Chobuck. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Okay.
Beautiful.
Did it. Good job. Good work, team.